Hello and welcome to Hangout Cafe, a podcast where we have candid conversations with some truly courageous guest barristers about their life's journey, the triumphs and their defeats. I'm your host, Oluwadiaga, and every week I have the privilege of sitting down with these interesting individuals, each with a unique story to tell, with the hope of encouraging and uplifting all who hear. Thanks for joining us today.
So, as you guys all know, our topic for today is who told you? Who told you? Who have you been listening to? What have they told you? Mm-hmm. So, today is the day to unravel all those lies, those things that they've told you that is not true. Mm-hmm. So, Jane, tell us a bit more. Where did this who told you? Where did it come from?
Well, the first who told you actually Funke came from in Genesis 3:11, and okay. When God came into the garden, when Adam and Eve had sinned, yeah. You know, and he said to them in verse 11, and he said, who told you that you were naked? Mm. Of the tree of which I commanded you eat. And because the enemy came in and he said, when you eat it, you're going to be like God.
Yeah.
But the first thing God said when he came is that who told you? And I believe that is the foundation of all the who told you in our life. Because yeah. I've been thinking about mine and some of the who told people who have told me things.
Yeah.
But that's the foundation. You know, in psychotherapy terms, we always say that in human psychopathology, which is when it all broke down for human beings, it was in the garden. Even yeah. non-Christianity, we look at it from the sense of where did things go wrong for humanity? Mm-hmm. And it was there. It's when we began to believe the lies and the myths about ourselves,
yep.
about who we are, who God is, and all of that. Because everything that you do, you and I do, we yep. do it with the premise of who we are.
Yes.
And it says, and as much as this green is gorgeous, which I know it is, this is not. This is just should be coming from the inside of me. Mm. The confidence to even do anything or even wear this color or cut my hair.
Yeah.
Coming from inside, because if it comes from outside, it will sustain us. And that's why God said, who told you? Because you were saying, I certainly didn't tell you, Funke, that you're not gorgeous and mm-hmm. you are gorgeous.
Thank you.
I didn't tell you you're not gifted. I didn't tell you that you can't go to Harvard. Mm. I didn't tell you can't go to Oxford. Mm. I didn't tell you you can't get that job. And so that's why we want to just debunk and unravel and also dig up some of the who told you in our lives. Like, who told you
you can't
apply for that job? Who told you?
Hmm.
But guess what? It was a lie, because when God created the human beings, he said, let us make man in our own image.
Yep.
In our likeness. Mm-hmm. I love the word likeness, because that means that we're like God.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then the devil comes in and he says, oh, when you eat the fruit of the tree, you will be like God.
Like God. You're already like God.
And that's a lie.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, that doesn't look good on you.
Who told you? Yeah.
What opinion are you listening to?
Who sets the standard?
That's the beginning. So that's the foundation, Funke, of who told you.
Told you. Wow. Do you know, people, while Jane was talking, I just thought, let us know some of the lies, the things that they've told you. Just put the comments in the box. Let's know some of this untruth. But anyway, Jane, go on.
Yeah. So when we believe that, then what it does is that, you know, I'm always talking about shame, because shame is such a powerful emotion that people don't even know it's there, you know, and in our work, we unravel it all the time, because shame, healthy shame helps us to form our identity and our sense of who we are.
Okay.
But toxic shame, on the other hand,
So Jane, can I just stop you? So there's healthy shame, and then there's okay.
Mm. So healthy shame lets you know that you have limits. You're a human being, you have limits. You're not God.
Okay.
It helps you to form your identity.
Okay.
Safeguards your honor and your spirituality. That means that it makes you know that you are a human being. You have limits.
Okay.
And it helps to form your conscience. That's the good shame. That I'm perfect. I have limits.
Okay.
But it becomes toxic when it begins to exploit the mind.
Okay.
That's what it is. Oh, when you eat it, you'll be like God.
Yeah.
I told you. Or what shame did in the garden, that toxic shame that affected me for people like me and everyone else, is that in the garden, it came through Adam and Eve, like, oh, God doesn't really care about you. God isn't really interested in you. So what it did was that shame dismantled. It dismantled their beauty and their creation.
Wow.
A lot of us, especially women.
Yeah. You know,
some lies, some things that were told us dismantles who we are. And sometimes we're not even aware of the things that have been told us, because when it's told us, it's right here in the forefront of your life.
Yeah.
And you're aware of it. But then also, the younger you are, as children, we look to the person who is raising us, who is speaking to our lives, tell us something about who we're becoming. So me, sometimes all these who told you go to the dark recesses of our mind. You know it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you an example from my own life. When I was growing up, my aunt passed away now. I don't, you know, my family, I told them, I already apologized to them that... He shared my story, my way, and my experience. But
thank
my aunt,
you.
Who was supposedly my godmother,
yeah,
it was a joke. But she used to say to me, oh, Jane, and she would say it in my Ghanaian name, you have such a big forehead. And then they made a joke, and they call me Miss Ghana. But Miss Ghana, not in the sense of beautiful,
yeah,
but Miss Ghana, ugly. So, and everybody in my family laughed at it. So then in my teenage years, I went and lived in America, and then I came here, and I was walking down the road as a teenager once, and somebody stopped me and said to me, hey, you beautiful. I kept walking. I was like, who that? You know, like this, who that? So, and then he stopped me, and then he says, would you like to have your picture taken? Would that be modeling? I just stood there, and I just carried on walking. But even that experience, it was not until many, many, many years later that I was studying counseling. I began to study some of the origins of these things and studying self-image and all of that.
Yeah.
And I realized, actually, those little subtle truths, who told you?
They stuck.
So it's like, it's not that I didn't see myself as beautiful, but it's also I didn't believe it. And that's the second part of who told you is beliefs.
Okay, let me quickly just read some of these things.
Okay.
The lies that people said they've been told.
Yeah. Tell me some.
Some of them, black people can't lead.
Yep.
This job is not for people like you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to cover your hair.
Mm-hmm.
You're not good enough.
Yeah.
Those are some of the things that people have put.
Yeah. So let me also do something. Let's define what self-image is, because that's a big one of who told you. So your self-image is the mental picture you have of yourself within yourself.
Your self-image is
the mental picture. So mental means thoughts
picture.
And words.
Okay.
Because we use thoughts and words to form pictures.
Okay.
A picture, they say, is worth more than what? So many words.
But yes.
So it's your self-image is the mental picture you have of yourself within yourself.
Okay.
And that picture includes a healthy self-image. The picture should include your strengths, because
mm-hmm.
everybody has strengths. It should include your weaknesses.
Yeah.
It should include your body image.
Okay.
It should include also your abilities, the things that you can do and the things you cannot do.
Okay.
And so... another way is that your healthy self-image is what you think of yourself, Funke.
Mm-hmm.
What feelings and images come up?
Mm.
When you think of yourself, so people, we're going deeper now. When you think of yourself, what feelings and images come up right now? This is it.
Okay, if I answered that question, sometimes I feel inadequate.
Mm-hmm.
To do a lot of things. I just feel I'm not capable of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sometimes in the past, I have turned down opportunities because I felt that I wasn't capable of doing it.
Yeah.
Now, see, where that came from, I don't know.
Yeah, but that, you see, the key is that, let me go back and come forward again. So I'm going to take you back to something that it's a scripture. I believe some of our listeners are Christians. If they're not even, this will help you profoundly.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a scripture in Jeremiah that says something like this, that before I knew you, I formed you. That means that God knows you, Funke.
Yes.
And everyone listening out there, God knows you Maria, God knows you, Tosin, God knows you, Joy. So he says, before I formed, I knew you.
Yeah.
So if God knows you, then mm-hmm. he formed you.
Mm-hmm.
But if God knows you intimately, so yeah. going back, so before your parents ever decided to do whatever they decided to do and have a baby and yep. gave birth to you, mm-hmm. you were known by God.
Yes.
I always like to put it this way, that your spirit was with God, was hiding with God.
Yeah.
So he knew you.
Mm-hmm.
So when you fast forward that, even to the things, the bad things that happened to you on your life journey, all the pain, all the stuff that you were told, you go back, God says, I know you. So when mm-hmm. he says, okay, I want you to do a live, I want you to do mentoring, I want you to write a book about manners, I want you to do that, and you feel inadequate.
Yeah.
That's okay, but it's okay to feel, oh, I can't do this, but I can in Christ, because yeah. he knows you. So, yeah. and anything that comes to your path, he brings it good, especially anything that is to do with our dream and our purpose and yeah. all of that comes from him. So okay. when you feel, oh, I can't, but you can in him. Okay. But when you can't and you never do it,
yeah.
then that is where I like to say that the who told you
have comes into
come. To the okay. forefront of your life, because what the who told you, the negative who told you in our life,
yeah,
they come to disable us.
The negative who told you come to disable us. Okay?
You know why? Because shame is what we call an embodied state of being. When we say something is embodied, it means yeah. that it's in you. So that's why I say shame is such a powerful emotion. So because yeah. it's embodied in you.
Yeah.
You don't even realize that you've taken in onto yourself
wow.
this whole sense. So then when you are asked to do something or an opportunity comes, like, oh, you're a black person, you have a leadership thing, like somebody just asked.
Yeah.
Immediately you go to, you've got, you've embodied that statement, black people can't lead.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a mental statement alone, but now it's embodied in us. It disables you.
Yeah. Wow.
So anything wow. that disables you, and you don't want to touch it in your life.
Yeah.
Those are the lies. Those are the myths. And that's a myth anyway. Black people can lead.
Yeah.
That's what called Lago. You know,
yeah.
I'm always telling my daughters that they should come to their lives
mm-hmm.
the position of their sense of self, who they are.
Okay.
Because that's who you were. You were with God. Then he brought you into your parents. Then he brought you into the world as a black woman or a black man. Or
yeah.
So blackness is part of who I am,
yeah.
but it's not significantly what I began with. It's yeah. just the melanin. The blackness is the melanin.
Yes.
But other people have so sold this lie and that sense of that limitation of the melanin in our skin that we all begin to look at our blackness. I own this blackness, girl. I own it.
Yes, girl. Yes, yes,
you
yes.
know. But fundamentally, God says, I know you, Funke.
Mm-hmm.
I formed you.
Yes.
And then look at how it goes. Then he says, then I ordained you. That means that's when he gave you the abilities and capabilities.
Mm.
So your self-image has your strengths.
Yeah.
And that's your weaknesses. So the question that I want to pose to everybody listening in is that, what do you think of yourself?
What do you think of yourself? Okay,
and
people.
What do you think people think about you? Don't answer me. Answer yourself.
Answer yourself.
The work.
So what do you, two questions Jane wants us to answer. What do you think about you? And what's the second one?
What do you think people think about you?
What do you think people think about you? Okay. What do you think? Let's see some of your answers. What do you think of yourself? And what do you think people think about you? Okay. We're waiting. Come on, people.
I'm waiting. Okay. If you can't answer, this is something to think about.
Think about
it. What do you see? You know what I said? Your self-image is the mental picture you have of yourself within yourself. So what does that picture look like when you look at that picture? What do you see? Do you see a loser?
No.
See a fighter? Who do you see? Do you see more than a conqueror?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you carry within yourself the kind of world that you want to live in. You carry within yourself, because your self-image is inside you. If it's the mental picture of yourself, then within you, within me, is I carry in me the boundaries and the limitations and also the accomplishments.
That's okay.
what limit you. Self-image can be so limiting.
Okay, they say, I think I'm awesome and much more to unveil. I think I'm strong, amazing, confident, and beautiful. Mm-hmm. I think I'm a warrior. I think highly of myself. What people think is up to them. I'm strong, confident woman. I'm a fighter. Wonderful.
Good. Okay. That is good. Because one time I was doing this exercise with a group of women, and I asked people, which I was going to do in the end, to come up with what I call empowering words to rebuild. Because remember that who told you is really words.
Yeah.
You know, like how, as you think of yourself, so are you. So it's all thoughts. So we form thoughts with our pictures. You know, Zig Ziglar says, what you picture in your mind, you will work. He says, what you picture in your mind, you will work to accomplish.
What you picture in your mind, it's true.
Yeah. When you change your pictures, he says, you automatically change your performance. Mm,
mm.
What you picture in your mind, you will
what work you picture to accomplish. In your mind, you work.
What you picture in your mind, I'll say it again, you will work to accomplish.
Okay.
So when you change your pictures, you automatically change your performance. So if I change that picture of a loser and I begin to see a picture as someone put of a warrior, of a confident, strong woman, that is going to impact
performance. Yeah. Amazing. Wow. Okay. What you picture in your mind, you will work to accomplish. I love that. Some people say, I'm super duper fly, awesome, strong, and very chilled. I think I'm one of God's favorite daughters. Pastor Wumi, actually, I always think that I'm one of God's favorite daughters. I see myself as a consistent overcomer, amazing. Mm-hmm. I think of myself as beautiful and valuable to the Lord. And then someone said, what people think doesn't matter anymore. Used to before, but doesn't anymore.
You know what I think? I like to say that what people think about you, it's really in their head. And really, honestly speaking, the way that that helped me was, I used to think, most people are really scared anyway to tell me what they think, because it's in their head. and nobody's thoughts are going to kill me. And that's what happened to the Israelites. When they went to see the promised land, 12 of them went, the spies. Then they came and they said, when we looked at the people in the land, as grasshoppers in their sight. And as grasshoppers were we. So they were saying, it's not what you think of me, Funke. Mm-hmm. It's not what I think of me. It's what I think you are thinking of me. how sick that is. That can destroy us. It's not even what I think of myself, but what I think you're thinking of me.
Yeah.
But what I think you're thinking of me, I will never know. And that's why we have to just debunk some of these myths about ourselves and begin to look at beliefs. You know, they did this research with Harvard law students, and they discovered that the most successful law students were the most intelligent. They were the ones who believed in themselves. Where do beliefs come from? Thoughts.
God.
So that's where we come back to the mental picture you have of yourself within yourself.
But Jane, why are we so fixated on what people think about us? I don't know whether it's easily, you know, invite those things, and they are so into us. So someone says, like, you know, okay, maybe because you were younger then when they were talking about your forehead, you know, but why do we allow these things to just grip us, and we're paralyzed? We can't do anything because of all the things other people have said. Why?
Because it comes back to how we see ourselves. You know, even because remember when I defined self-image, I said that it includes also having a healthy image of your body. You know, and I am all for taking care of your body. But even before we even start to want to lose weight or do the things that we want to do, the first thing we have to lose is lose the words that have been spoken. Because a lot of weight gain is psychological. It's words and statements and experiences that have attached themselves to our body image.
I was told
all the time growing up by people in school, you have skinny ankles and you don't have a bust, you don't have this. Then guess what? Then I grow up and I think, actually, skinny ankles are great for wearing boots because. But see, so I wanted to, how do I get my ankles to get a bit of meat? So we have to lose the words. So what
lose the words.
We allow, without realizing, we allow people's words to really come and sit on the ground of our hearts.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, one of the things that, we're seeing a lot of anxiety and fear now among young people, a lot of anxiety and fear.
Yeah.
And anxiety is defined as, it's a future-focused emotion.
Future-focused emotion.
It's a future, okay. So anxiety, you feel more in your body, like either your tummy or your heart beating fast. But anxiety has got a mental component.
Mm.
And that mental component is thoughts. People are afraid nobody will like their picture on Instagram. They are afraid nobody will like me. They are afraid they won't get a job. So anxiety always, when I work with anxiety and we unravel it and take it apart,
yeah,
discover that anxiety has some mental thoughts with it. So we allow what people have said, what people have done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't even realize that, you know, when they do the exercise at the end, and you really sit with yourself, you see that there's some work you need to let go. And it's not just something you do one time. I'm always, it's
always
from time,
From
time to time, because you, as a pastor's wife or as a leader, you go to events, and then people treat you a certain way, and then immediately you begin to allow that to
shape you,
find your value, as to, oh, maybe they did it this way because I am not so and so. But really, your value, your true value, is in the cross, that somebody was willing to come and
die for you.
That's your true value on the open market. That's your value.
Yeah.
So who told you? You know, that's always God. Who told you?
Yeah.
Because God was like, I said, didn't tell you. You're not good enough. You know, he said, who told you? Who told you won't get married by 40 years? It means you won't get married.
Gosh. Jay, please don't go there.
Who told you haven't done this by this age? It's too late. Who told you?
Do you know, I remember when I had this conversation, we had said to you that I don't even understand where that word older single comes from.
Yeah.
You know, or you have to be married by 25. If you're not married by 25, then you're an older single, or then you can't marry. You know, we need to, like Jen is saying, we really need to lose those words. There's nothing like older single, seriously. And a friend of mine, I was having a chat with a friend of mine. She said she's not single because she has her siblings, she has her parents. She might not be married, but she's not single, because single means that you're just one. And don't forget also, we're in Christ. We are not single. You know, we've got Christ. So please lose that older single or mature single or whatever it is.
But first of all, the word single, we're married or single, is really your status. It's not who you are. It's your status.
Absolutely.
It's just a status. Then, you know, when I turned 30, I tell people I turned the age of 30 many, many moons ago. I took myself from the rat race. You say, what's a rat race? Mm. A rat race is where you tell yourself, by 20, I should have this. By 25, I should have this. By 30. And when you finish the rat race, you're still a rat.
Mm.
But the rat race is still based on who told you that by 25, you should have this. By 30, you have 2.4 children or whatever, 3.1 or whatever. It all comes back to who told you.
Okay, guys, please, if you've got any questions, put them in the question box. Someone said, how do you practically lose those words? How do you practically lose those words?
So the way that you embrace a healthy self-image or lose the who told you, remember, all emotional healing is always a process, because it's taken a long time for those lies to be embedded in you. So they won't go away immediately. So you got the same way that you begin to imbibe truth into your life.
Yeah.
So you start to what I call it rebuilding your self-image. So you're building stage by stage.
Okay.
So you start to build it with what first empowering words.
Okay.
You know, I'm lovable, I'm adorable, I'm beautifully knit together, I'm naturally beautiful, I'm charming, you know, I'm flawless, I'm a precious jewel. You know, I'm creating the image of God. You look for empowering words to build that self-image.
Okay.
Then also, number two is that, not in numbers, but another step is that go back to your roots.
Mm.
Because to really heal, I always say go back to your roots. What are your roots? I said that to you, Funke. I said, before you were born, God says, I formed you.
Yep.
I know you.
Yep.
And so before your parents and before life happened, before people began to say things about you, before that bad marriage happened, when you go back to your roots, not your roots as a black person, but back to your original roots.
Yeah.
Your roots were with God.
Yes.
So
yes,
now that, and then sin and the different things in life came and disconnected you, then you began to believe the who told you.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to your original connection and begin to look at the words, the things that God says to you about who you are. Go back to your roots. The first thing he said in Genesis, the beginning even, Genesis 1:31, he said, God looked at everything he had made.
And he said, this is very good. Yeah.
So when he looked at you, me with my hips or no hips or whatever, he said, this is very good.
Yep.
Go back to your roots look at what was told you. Go back to your roots.
Yep. Thank you, Jay. Go back to your roots. We all need to do that. Yeah. We all need to. And then all those negative who told you, negative words, we need to exchange them with the positive. So someone says you're ugly. You know, God will not create anyone ugly. You're beautiful, fearfully and wonderfully made.
No.
Go back to your roots. Ah, yes, Jane, this is amazing. Yes, someone said it is amazing.
Yeah,
really amazing.
One of my favorite books is a children's book by Max Lucado, but I use it for therapy. I've used it to speak on image. It's called You Are Special. It's a book by Max Lucado. And the story is this. It's a lovely story. I read it to adults. It's about this land which had these little people called the Wemmicks. And everybody walked around the town, just in a short story, long story cut short. Everybody walked around the town every day. And they'll put stickers on people. If you were beautiful, if you were tall, if you were high, they put stickers on you. So everybody got stickers for being beautiful, being amazing, having a snazzy haircut like Funke, having nice clothes. So those got stickers. But then there was one little Wemmick called Punchinello, and all he got was dots. So dots were like, you're nothing, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're too black, or you're too short. So all he got was dots. And then one day, telling the story, Punchinello meets another woman who had no dots on them. And he said to her, how come you don't have any dots on you? How'd you get that? He says, come, I'm going to show you. So she took him all the way up to the woodcarver's office. And then the woodcarver was there. When the woodcarver saw Punchinello, he says, I've been waiting for you to come. He says, goodness, you have a lot of marks all over you. And he says, right, but people just say things about me and I can't stop it. And then the woodcarver sat him there on his bench and said, I made you.
Whoa.
And I don't make any mistakes. And then he just sat there crying. Then he just believed it. Just decided to just believe that he was not a mistake. Then as he walked off, guess what? One dot dropped off.
Wow.
And he spoke about the fact that every day you and I need to go to the woodcarver, go to your roots, and let God take a look at you and say, oh, Funke, I made you. I am beautiful. Then you go and visit Eli, the woodcarver.
Yeah.
Then he takes off the scars and the marks off you every day as you look in that mirror of his word. And then you go off and do life. But as you believed it, the thought that had been put on him all his life.
Wow.
Everybody listen out there, you are so special, you know, and God just sent Funke and I to tell you this morning to hang out with you that you are special.
You are special. Don't believe the lie. Yeah. Don't believe the lie. All those labels, please begin to go back to your root. Let the porter, let Eli let him know that He made you. God made you. He created you. Oh, Jane. Okay. So, what next? Now that we know that we go back to the root, what next? Let me see. I think there's a question. Hold on a
minute. Okay.
Yes. Can we please know how to gently reject negative utterances from a family or friend without falling out?
You know, one of the things that you say is that, oh, that might be your perspective, but that's not my perspective.
Mm.
Yeah, because the word perspective means how you see it.
How you see it, yes.
Oh, no, you are too much like this. You say, oh, thank you, but that's your perspective.
Yeah, that's not mine.
Perspective.
And I guess the key, like you said, is as soon as we get those words, we reject it and we nullify it because you don't want it to stick, right?
No.
Yeah.
Like Punchinello, don't let them stick on you because then they give you marks. Marks inside. That's what happened in the story. He had all these marks. He had allowed the words to stick. You know, when we were younger, you know, Maya Angelou says, when you know better, you do better. When we were younger, and didn't know better. You know, even when I was a pastor's wife, everybody had an idea of what my job should be, who I should be, what I should wear. And that brought a lot of confusion. And that's what happens also when we listen to other people. But now that I'm growing older, older in age, thank you very much, but I'm getting older. But now that I'm getting a bit older, I realize that the only person whose opinion matters is the one who gave me the job.
Yeah.
Because when you stand before God one day, he's not going to ask you about your who told you. He's going to say, what did you do, Jane, with what I gave you?
Yep.
You know, and so you must always not look at all the opinions of others. You know, you have to also think on truth, what I call truth.
Mm-hmm. What tell us about this truth. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about. You know, that truth, because truth is what will build us up. You know, in the last 10 years, we have something called neuroscience has been saying a lot of things that are already in God's word. Like neuroscientists are saying that the brain has neuroplasticity. That means that the brain can wire itself. Because before, scientists said that the way that you are, that's how you are. You can never change.
Yeah.
But then the Bible says that you can be renewed in the spirit of the mind. But now neuroscience is saying the brain has neuroplasticity. That means pliable like clay.
Yeah.
And it can rewire itself. But guess what they say? It can rewire itself with truth. But for us as believers, we already have the truth of His word.
Yes.
You know. I wrote down some truth. Like Song of Songs 1:15 says, "Behold, you are beautiful, my love.
Yes.
Behold, you are beautiful. You have dove's eyes."
Whoa.
I know you like that, don't you?
Yes, I love that. I have dove eyes.
You have dove's eyes. I said, makeup artist, eat your heart out. God knew about smoky eyes.
He did. He knew about smoky eyes before they started. Oh my goodness.
Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. You have dove's eyes. Isaiah 62:3 says, "You shall also be so beautiful and prosperous, and be thought of as a crown, as a diadem in the hand of your God."
Yes.
And so you have to start to imbibe and embody this kind of truth and build your self-image with truth. Before you imbibe truth, you have to accept yourself. A lot of us don't accept ourselves. But sometimes when I say accept themselves, they think that it means that, oh, I shouldn't work on my weight or I shouldn't do this. No.
That's the question I was going to ask you.
Before you can change even your body image, you have to accept the body image that you have. Because acceptance doesn't mean that you don't want change. Acceptance says that I am comfortable in my own skin.
Okay.
And you want to be able to say, I'm comfortable in my skin.
Okay.
It's important that you're comfortable in your own skin.
Be comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the process. It takes time to build once you discard the old images and the pictures that people have put on you, you know, have said about you or that loved ones, you know. And sometimes, you see, I always say that not every parent decides I'm going to have a child, that I'm going to put negative words in them and destroy them. However, based on what our parents knew, based on the people around it, some people are vindictive, we know that.
But
for most times, based on what people know and the limitations of what they knew, and they did what they did. But when we come into a relationship with God, God reparents us again.
Yes.
And that's what I do as a therapist. We call it reparative work. So I sit there unconsciously as a parent in for the client, and I reparent them. So I'm listening. So I'm hearing. That's why listening is so important.
Yeah.
So I'm listening. The word listening means that I affirm. I hear you. I care. I understand. And then it's all reparative, because you're like, you matter. Your story matters. You know, you're important.
Yeah.
You know, and that I care about you. You know, and the mistakes that I put on you. You know, like, take the limits off me. You know,
take the limits off.
Limits off.
Yeah.
You know, somebody needs to go home today, or when we're done with this, I look in the mirror and look at yourself and said, my name is so and so. And today I'm taking the limits off. Stripping away. I'm stripping away.
Whoa.
I'm getting away with that old self. Someone needs to have a talk with themselves in the mirror. Look at the reflection, but the mirror, what you see in the mirror is not really you. It's a reflection of who you. And talk to that self inside you.
But Jen, do you find out that a lot of us, we don't do that because we're so busy doing this or that. And sometimes we don't want to confront, let me just use the word confront ourselves. But we need to.
Yeah, we do. But remember I told you, when I said that in my last lecture I was with you, that on my birthday, I always have a party for myself.
Yes, you said so. You said so.
But you know what's happened in lockdown?
What?
A lot of people have met with themselves.
Yeah.
A lot of people have met with themselves. But you need that time.
Yeah.
You know, that time, not every day, but a moment with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, moments where you take care of you.
Yeah.
So,
have conversations with yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That conversation, you know, where you discard some of the words. I mean, words are powerful.
They are pretty powerful.
You know that poem that says, sticks and bones may break me, but words do not. Oh, words do.
Words do. Words
do. Oh, yes, they do. They break us. They break us. They destroy.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're a parent, that's why you have to always go back and do what I call reparative work. You know, when your kid, you're upset with your kids and things happen, go back.
Yeah,
and repair immediately. Yeah. You know, go back and just repair right there. Speak a empowering word, a truth back to that child, and tell them that what you did was wrong, but you are loved by me. You know, and we always used to say to people that you parent. I mean, you give compliments and private rebuke and public praise.
Public rebuke and public praise.
Because otherwise, you shatter the esteem. Well, the word esteem is the value. And that's what where we build our picture from. And you shatter it, and it's in pieces. You know, so people are intelligent, they're bright, they're whatever, and then they build the exterior. But this is just clothes. If this is stripped away and I don't have an inner substance, then I can't stand.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to constantly ensure all of us that we're putting truth. You know, that we're stripping away, that we're taking away the limitations, you know, and the things. I tell you what, I talk about limitations. So, many years ago, I hurt my shoulder. And so I couldn't go to the gym, because you know when I go to the gym, I like all these active classes, like body attack, body combat. Mm-hmm. I like boxing and all of that. You know, I don't do stretching, and I don't do yoga. I didn't.
You know?
So I had this injury, and I couldn't do anything. So I was asked to go to stretching classes.
Okay.
Wow. And so it was in Spain as well. So she said, everybody lie down and stretch. Stretch your hand. Stretch. Stretch. And stretch. I'm telling you. And I did stretching and stretching. And stretching got me a nice tummy. That's like our mind. Sometimes you have to stretch it. Touch a word and stretch it. That's what I'm asking you to do, is to stretch your mind a bit. Stretch it. And I thought, what is this? I'm used to like boxing and all of that. I didn't know that stretch.
Wow.
It's so good for the muscles, and just stretching.
Wow.
And just like elongating the body and all of that.
Wow.
It's all so good. For us.
Yeah. Wow.
So really, that's what we're asking you. If you want to nail it down today, we're just asking you to stretch.
Stretch. Stretch. Stretch. I'm stretching.
I'm stretching. So now I believe in stretching and Pilates and all of that. It's not always just the body attack and the so stretching. Because that's what God said to the barren woman in Isaiah 55. He says that stretch, lengthen the habitations of your tent.
Your tent,
Lengthen and stretch. He didn't tell her to go and get a new tent. He didn't tell her to go and get a new tent. The same body, the same habitation that you're in.
Stretch it. My goodness. We're all stretching. Yes,
Pastor Wimi.
We're stretching.
Stretch.
Okay, we have about 10 minutes more. Any questions for Jade? Any questions?
And remember, I'll read that self-image letter at the end. So we have 5 minutes or 10 minutes because I have to go as well.
Okay. So if you don't have any questions, any more questions, but this has been so enlightening, Jade. Thank you so much.
It's always a joy to share truth and to just unravel lies and just set women on a good place or men or whoever is listening out there. Yeah. That you're amazing, you know, you're awesome, you were created in the image of a divine God.
Yes.
God just sent us this morning to just come and hang out with you and reinforce that truth.
Yeah. Wow. Pastor Jane, they love you. Thank you.
And that's it for this week's episode of the Hangout Cafe podcast. If you like what you heard, don't keep it to yourself. Share with a friend or acquaintance. Also, don't forget to subscribe so you get notified as new episodes are released weekly. Catch you on the next one.